This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2014 at Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm speaking today with Rob Midgley, who's a global technical and quality manager for Shell, and this is on the aviation side, and also Michael Sargent, who's head of the aviation avgas commercialization project at Shell. Rob, I'll start with you. You and I have seen each other at ASTM meetings. I know that Shell has submitted candidate fuel to the FAA PAFI process, been working at it a while. Tell me a little bit about what kind of work Shell's done on this and, in generalities, what that fuel is likely to be from the Shell side.
Good to see you again, Paul. On Shell's side, we've been working on this since 2004. So we've done a lot of work, not just on the aviation gasoline compositional part, but also understanding how engines work. We had an engine test rig in the UK for quite some time, which had some unusual capabilities and capacities. So instrumented engine capable of turbocharged, high compression, low compression, altitude, conditioning air into and out of the engine. So we understood quite a lot about the combustion process in the engine, demands of the engine to start with. And that led to a program where it's been quite a lot of extensive testing. We've been aiming the product, the unleaded fuel product, to have a higher than 100 octane motor octane response, which we've successfully achieved. We're above 101. Some versions of the formulations are above 102. But the core part to it as well is not just the octane, but trying to meet the other properties within the D910 test specification. So the reason for that is that those properties have really come through the specification through our historic experience. You know, we have those limits in there for a reason, because they reflect historic incidents or operational limitations or those sorts of properties. So we've really tried to focus the formulation not just on achieving the octane, but all of the secondary, you know, 21 properties that sit within the fuel spec.
Now, if I recall from the ASTM meeting, and your fuel was described only in broad terms, it will be an aviation alkylate-based fuel with some kind of an aromatic package added. Is that correct?
I think to talk about it in simplistic terms is probably somewhat disingenuous to your listeners. I think that there is alkylate in the fuel. I think to talk about parts of it giving different performance, I think is probably missing the whole point, because it's a synergistic approach that the fuel takes. You know, the 10-year program has really been based around trying to understand the interplay between components within the fuel. So to point to one component and isolate it and say that that's a key part of the formulation would be missing the point to some extent. The effect of the whole formulation is what we're trying to achieve here, the interplay between components. But to answer your question directly, there is some alkylate in there. There are some aromatics in there. And it depends which properties you're looking at to whether you're trying to work out whether they're what influence they have.
Well, let me follow up that question by saying, if it doesn't contain a lot of aviation alkylate, does that impact the economics in such a way that it could be a fuel that's not as expensive as we think it's likely to be?
I think, the expense part of this is, I presume you're talking about end user cost into the wing. The component cost of the fuel is actually a minority part of that product makeup. So I think what I encourage you to look at is not just the component cost within the fuel, but the opportunities that brings within the manufacturing and distribution network as well. And I think we're trying to work that whole space, that end-to-end value stream. And so focusing just on the componentry cost is not the whole picture for as far as the pilot's concerned. But what we're trying to get to with the formulation is not just the D910 properties, but its ability to be producible. So we don't have any components in there which require its own manufacturing capability, for example. So we're not looking for new designing and building new component manufacturing streams. We're looking at, you know, commonly available components which should minimize the cost impact to end users on the production side.
So if I understand that correctly, you may be looking at a fuel that is producible in a wider range of refinery facilities and therefore is can be distributed more effectively regionally?
I think even wider than that, we're looking at optionality to be produced either inside or outside the refinery fence. So we're looking to maximize the flexibility for production.
Will this fuel, either Shell's or whichever, do you think it will be a similar weight to what we've been used to, and will it have the 9-10 characteristics as far as aging and so forth?
Yeah, I think it's a great observation, Paul, that the industry as a whole, and I think the user community as a whole, is really focused on the octane as being the problem. And of course, octane is a great challenge when you take the lead out of the fuel at the octane ratings we're looking at. So it's not an easy solution to fix. But if it were only the octane solution, there are many more options that you could come across. Once you start to consider the whole specification, that specification has developed over 90 plus years of experience. So, different parts of that specification control different aspects of the fuel which are important to the aviation community. One of them, only one of the 21 that you've pointed at there, is storage stability. So we intentionally aim at the same storage stability as aviation gasoline. So it's a complex space, and that formulation space becomes complex as a result, and the interplay between components becomes complex as a result. But I think, to have a fuel to genuinely replace 100 low lead, you need to look at this in a much more holistic view than just octane. You need to look at all of the secondary properties that keep the operating limitations of the aircraft and engine the same, but also the storage and handling limitations the same that we're used to in the aviation field.
When you are asked, Rob, what's this fuel likely to cost compared to avgas, what do you say?
We're still in the process of, we have a formulation space still that we're still working within, so we've got some movement around, so we're not fixed at the moment on what that looks like. In terms of dollars and cents, I think to give you a broad indication where on a component cost we're comparable with 100 low lead, what we're hoping for is some synergies within the manufacturing and distribution part of that as well.
Right now, I think you told me last time we talked that Shell does not refine avgas in the U.S., but if I'm hearing you correctly, that may not matter.
That's right, and I think anybody that brings any fuel to this market to replace 100 low lead, it's going to be a real challenge for them to be an equity provider and have the reach that this product requires. So I think anybody that brings a fuel to market needs, there's going to have to be a multitude of people producing the same technology fuel. I think there's likely to be a single technology outcome to this, but it's not necessarily a single producer of that fuel. So availability of that technology to third parties is going to be a key part to that process, just to get the reach into the market.
So that means that Shell might not manufacture it?
It may not, but it also very well may. So the options are open on that.
Michael, I'll ask you, since you're the commercialization guy, and Rob and I have talked about this before, this is a difficult market because it's flat to declining. If you go into that with a business plan, how do you approach that?
We think that our customers are keen for a change, a solution, a move away from leaded avgas. The marketers, the regulators have indicated that they would like to see a change in the market. We think that this fits with our overall desire to be, a premier general aviation provider of products and services. We think this fits well with that strategy here in the U.S., where we've made recent investments in that area. So we see it being sold as one of our products and services, not just in the U.S. I mean, our vision is that this be available globally as well.
Mm-hmm. And how does if you're a Shell business manager, you kind of have to pitch this, I suppose, as a product that goes into a market where there might not be growth, and how do you sell it, I guess, internally?
Yeah, even in a decline in volume market, and I think the numbers, it's still unclear. We spoke a little bit earlier about the different factors, the cyclic downturn of the economy. There are other products out there that, frankly, we think that a high octane unleaded avgas could be a solution for. So if you look across the different products that are available now, a high octane, unleaded avgas may reach into some of those areas.
Is there any scenario you can see that a new fuel would increase activity and increase volume?
I think that remains to be seen, and that's very much a question that we want to engage with some of our customers and try to understand. You know, what's important to them as we roll that out. What does the certainty of a future for a fuel for a lot of their equipment, their investments, what does that mean for them? You know, how that might stimulate demand is something that we'd like to try and understand. But the feedback we get from our customers is that, you know, this is an exciting change. It's a significant step forward for the industry.
The PAFI process, I think, has a goal of around 2018. Does that appear doable at this point?
We think that the PAFI process is doable. We also think it needs the collaboration of not just the offerers, but all of the OEMs, the other, you know, the experts, the equipment experts. It would need the, you know, active support from the regulators to succeed as well. So I would summarize by saying it's doable. Once we have the collaboration across the different parts of the industry, it will be challenging, but it's doable.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. We've been speaking with Michael Sargent and Rob Midgley of Shell Oil. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2014, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.